Good morning, Grace Hill. As we've passed a week since some of the events happened in our country, it doesn't mean the emotions and the situations have fully passed. And as we deal with those events, it brings out in us emotions and feelings and ideas that were maybe buried deep. And my desire is that these messages over the next 3 weeks, that these prayers that we're going to learn over the next 3 weeks can be things that transform your life. And the truth is that these prayers can transform our church as the water level of spiritual growth in our lives rises, it rises in our church as well. And this series can truly be a monumental moment for us. Now, what's a monumental moment? Monumental moments. For me as a young man and me in my life, that there are these monumental moments that change the trajectory of my spiritual development. So there were times, whether it was at youth camp and the altar call, or a message I heard on a Sunday morning, or times that I was in prayer in the Word and God spoke to my heart, there are these monumental moments that changed where I was headed spiritually, changed the depth in which I was going spiritually. And my desire today is that this be a monumental moment for us over the next 3 weeks, that a message where we hear from God in such a way that it impacts and changes the incline or the direction or the growth level in our lives. Now, we're gonna learn three new prayers over the next 3 weeks. These aren't easy prayers. They're not safe prayers. They're not even comfortable prayers, but they're prayers that are dangerous in a good way. And I believe this, that as Christians, once we become comfortable in our faith and we're at a certain point, that we begin to pray prayers that are far too safe. We pray prayers like, God bless us. It's a good prayer, but it's just really safe. God help us. It's good. Safe. God protect us as we travel. Traveling mercies, that's a fine prayer, but it's really, really a safe prayer. And I want to ask you today in your own life, is it time for us to show a risky faith? Is it time for you in your life to begin to have risky prayers and a dangerous faith and one that is very, very proactive and very, very dangerous? Is it time where we're praying risky prayers and dangerous prayers where we're hearing from God and we're responding? And maybe, just maybe, the best thing for our children is for them to see us with a dangerous prayer and a risky prayer, because far too often we're safe. Everything's safe. And if you're parents, we start having safe decisions and safe faith, and where suddenly they go off to college and they're bored with Christianity because all they saw was a sheltered safeness rather than a risky, obedient faith to the Lord. So for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to pray that the Lord puts these prayers in our hearts as a church, that it takes us out of our comfort zone. So next week, we're going to talk about the dangerous prayer of saying, Lord, break me. Break me. Now, that's a dangerous prayer, and we hate that, and we don't want that usually, but I want to tell you this, that on the other side of brokenness is a real intimacy with God. The third week, we're going to pray this, God, send me. In other words, we're saying, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go or do whatever you have for me to do. In other words, we're saying, God, I'm signing a blank contract. Lord, I'm saying whatever, whenever, however, God, I'm available to do what you want me to do. So, Lord, would you send me? We're going to pray prayers that hopefully become monumental moments in our lives. But today, we're kicking it off with also an equally dangerous prayer. That if we'll pray this and we'll capture this and it'll be something deep inside of our hearts, it will shape us immensely. We're starting off in Psalms 139. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 139, or it'll be on your sheets. It'll also be on the screens. Today, if you're listening online, I encourage you just to pause the recording, to pause the service, and to pull out Psalms chapter 139, verses 23 and 24. Let me give you just a moment of backdrop on what we're about to read. King David is writing this verse, and he's writing this verse after his enemies, after God's enemies have accused him of having wrong motives. They've attacked him, they've accused him, they've said he's had wrong motives. And David, instead of defending himself, he goes to prayer and he prays this incredibly dangerous prayer. How many of you in here, when you've ever been verbally attacked or accused, the first thing you do is you go on the defensive and you defend your motives, you defend yourself. David instead, he goes into prayer and here's what he says. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. What an incredible prayer right there. And so today, as we start out, I'm going to ask you to stand with me, Grace Hill, all across the auditorium. And as you stand, and as I want you to look at the screens, and we're going to read this together as a church. So if you would, join with me as we read this, and I want you to read it with gusto, with umption, with gumption, with me say it like, in other words, say it like you mean it. You ready? Here we go. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You may be seated. That sounded great. Sounded great. I want you to make this prayer a part of your daily prayer life. Bare minimum, regularly praying it to the Lord, saying, Lord, test me. Search my heart and know my heart. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me, God, in the ways in the past everlasting. So let's break this verse down, this passage down just a bit so that we can fully digest it, so that we can understand it, and so that we can then pray this to the Lord on a regular basis. So number one, the first thing that David prays and the first thing that David said was this, search my heart. Search my heart, God. In other words, verse 23, search me, God, and know my heart. Now, why would we ask that of God? Why would we ask that to the Lord in our prayer time? Why would we say, search my heart? I mean, doesn't God know my heart anyway? And isn't our heart good? I mean, I've got a good heart, so why would I say, you know, God, search it. He knows it. My heart's already good. I mean, you've got a good heart. I've got a good heart. She's got, everybody's got a good heart. But wait. Wait, if we're going to be biblically accurate today, we need to understand this, that without Christ, we do not have a good heart. It's a common misconception, a cultural saying, something that we said in a series a few months back. God never said that. God never said we had a good heart. Well, we say, hey, she's got a good heart. No. Actually, she has a wicked heart. You're like, what? If you'll read with me, Jeremiah 17, verse 9 is this. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and is desperately wicked. Is desperately what? Say it with me. Wicked. Wow. Who really knows how bad it is? So without Christ, the heart's not good. The Bible says it's wicked, that we deceive others. And oftentimes, the biggest deception of our lives is that we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves, and that we lie and we have deceived. In fact, in the room today, how many of you have ever lied? Raise them up. Anyone in here ever lied? Leave them up. Look around really quick. Look around. Whoever's hand is down, liar. Do what? I'm sorry. I had to clear my throat there for a second. We have lied. We've lied to people. We've lied to mom. We've lied to dad. We've lied to the neighbor. We've lied to the boss. We've lied to our employees. We've lied to ourselves. The most common lie oftentimes is to ourselves because the heart is deceitful. In fact, we say this, that, you know, I'm not full of pride. I mean, it's not my fault that I'm just better than everyone else. In fact, as I pastored in Houston and we were sitting there with our board and there were men from four different school districts represented on our board and our elder board. And so they were talking about the big rivalry game coming up. And one of the guys said, I don't understand why everyone thinks that we're their rival. No one seems to like our school district and they always want to beat, they get up to beat us. And one of the men across the table, we were all good friends, we're all, you know, good-natured ribbing. And one of the men from the other district, the other team, he said, is because you guys think you're better than everyone else. You guys have this real ego about yourselves as a district that y'all are better than everyone else. And there were two men on the district that he was talking about, and one of them, the young one, looked up and goes, "We are," joking, not joking. And the other one was an older gentleman, and he's writing something down. And when he said, "You guys, you know, you think you're better than everyone else," and he looked up with just such shock on his face, and he goes, "Well, we are." And he looked at me, because I lived in that school district, and he was like, "Aren't we, Pastor?" And I was like, "There we go. Y'all don't have a bit of pride about you." Because like, the first one was like, "We are," joking, not joking. The other one was like, "Sincerely, we think we're better because we are better." I don't have pride. I don't drink too much. I mean, I just drink one or two, or I drink too much. I mean, one, you know, I don't have lust. I mean, I just like to look at pretty things, right? I'm not materialistic. I just like to have lots of stuff, even if it puts me in debt. I'm not full of pride. I don't gossip. You know, I just want people to know so they can pray about it. The heart is deceitful above all. Or what about recent events? No matter what side we're on in a diverse congregation, I don't have any prejudice. But you know what they say about those people, or you know those guys always, they're thinking, or you know this group over here. Search my heart, oh God. Search my heart, oh God. Show me what's in there. And when we pray that prayer and we make that something inside of our hearts, that I want to tell you this, that God is going to show you what's on the inside and the things that are not pure. And for some of you, things that you find, it's going to hurt. And for some of you, it's going to bring things out that will break your heart. But God is going to show you. And he's going to show you things that will hurt and things that break your heart, not to be cruel and not to push those buttons and not to put salt in the wound. But he's going to do it because it brings greater and deeper intimacy with him. And it conforms us to his image. So many times we want to conform God into our image when really God's saying, it is yours to become in my image if you want to grow in relationship with him. It's tough. It's risky. It's a dangerous prayer, but it's one that makes us closer to God. Search me, God. Search my heart. So then David prayed this. God, would you reveal my fears to me? Would you reveal my fears to me? Verse 23 again says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Today, guys, what makes you anxious? Do we even acknowledge them inside of our hearts? What makes you fearful, worried? What causes you to wake up in the middle of the night sweating and nervous and your heart pounding just a little bit harder? Know my anxious thoughts. Are we afraid of not getting married till late in life? Maybe we're afraid of being stuck in the marriage and the situation that it's currently in. Are we afraid and anxious about current events and things that seem to be so tense and so ripe right now? Are we afraid of losing our job? Are we afraid of letting people down, afraid of failure, afraid of finances? What are we afraid of? Now, why would we ask and why would we say, God, show me my anxious thought? Why would that be a prayer inside of our hearts? If you're taking notes today, that we need to write this down, because the thing that we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. The things that we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. God, I've got to keep my children safe, and I've got to like always guard, and I've got to always, I mean, more than just being a good parent, I've got to shield, I've got to protect. Maybe we don't trust the Lord with our children. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to pay the bills. I'm afraid that I'm never going to catch up, that we're not trusting God to be my provider. If I'm afraid that my marriage is falling apart, then maybe I'm not trusting the Lord that he's the healer and our Rapha and the one who brings us together, heals and makes whole. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. And so we pray this, God, reveal to me my fears. And that's something that this week as I was praying it, and as if I'm going to ask you to do it, then I need to do it. And as I was praying for this, this was something that was easy for me to know. I didn't want to pray this prayer, but when I started saying, Lord, reveal my fears, it was easy for me to know. I felt God remind me of something I dealt with in the past, that's something that led me back to something that happened in my senior year of high school. I was running track my senior year. I'd been running since the fourth grade competitively. I did fine at it, had the opportunity to run in college. But my senior year, I would come straight out of basketball practice, the end of a season, and literally a game on Friday night. We'd run either the next Saturday morning after the season was over or 1 week later. So I didn't have a ton of training time, and they put me in a new race for me. I began to race the 800 meters, and if you know anything about it, that's two grueling laps around the track. I'd never run the event, so I was telling Coach, man, I don't know how to pace myself. I haven't ran it. It's the first time I've ever run the 800. And he looks at my training partner and said, just stick with him. You'll be okay. And so as we started the race, there's 15 of us. And if you know anything about a track meet, you can think on it and feel this way, that when you get there early in the morning, you can smell the smell of fresh cut grass in the spring. There's lots of shade and it's cool in the morning, but you know it's going to heat up quick because the sun's out in Texas spring, Texas summer. You get there and lots of nervous athletes and you have the energy of the morning. You're there with your team and you're thinking, oh, we've raced those guys before. They're fast. Oh, this team over here, they've got great field events. If we get our points right, we can win this meet. Oh, that team right there. Oh, that guy. I read about the guy in the newspaper. And so all these thoughts going on. You've got the smell of icy hot on all the athletes, right? And then they start giving first call 800 meters and you start loosening up and you're with your team and some of your teammates are patting you on the back. All right, go get them. And then you're warming up and then it's time to get on right by the track. Second call, last call. You get on the track, the nervous energy. You got your spikes on the rubber track and you're feeling the energy, getting the legs loose. Got the little bounce going. The adrenaline's pumping. On your marks, get set. Bam. First 100 meters, a lot of jostling kind of for position as you're running around. And so we came off the turn, my teammate and I, and out of the first 15 or so, we were sixth and seventh around the first 100 meters. Over the next 400 meters at that point, we're fifth and sixth. And over the last next 100 yards, we're fourth and fifth. So we've got 300 yards to go, and we're in fourth and fifth place. And with about 150 yards to go, we move now into third and fourth. And for me, this is longer than I normally ran. I normally ran the 400 meters. It's now 800 meters, and I'm getting tired. And we're in fourth and fifth. Move to third and fourth. And so now we're down the home stretch, and we're pushing hard. We're trying to keep people behind us, trying to move ahead. We're third and fourth, and my training partner now gets in the second. So we're second and fourth, and we're coming down the closing stretch, about to break the tape, and here's what goes through my head. I had this thought in my head, when I get home, I've got fourth place. I'm in fourth place. I'm wearing out. Fourth place, when I get home, I'll have to tell my mom I didn't win a medal. I seldom had to do that. I normally came home with a medal, one of the three, and was able to brag and show about it. And so my mom wouldn't care. The issue is I would care. And I remember that terrible thought in my head, I'm going to have to tell my mom I didn't get a medal. Like you're thinking, whatever, but for me, this is what I was working through, right? And I remember I'm fading fast. And all of a sudden, when I had that fear of not being able to show a medal to my mom, though she wouldn't care, and something came inside, and I gutted it out, I dug deep, and I passed the guy with about 5 meters to go, and I come in third place, I get a bronze medal. And several years later, I had to, just dealing with my own motives and dealing with things in my own heart, I had to come to the wrestling match in my heart of, do I love winning more or do I hate losing more? Do I have an enjoyment of victory or a fear of failure? What is the greater motivation in my heart? Some of you are like, cool story, bro. But for me, and now serving the Lord and sort of leading a church, for me, the question is, do I have a greater fear of failure or a greater love of obedience of God? Is my motivation a fear of looking bad and a fear of failure? Or is my motivation because I want to love God and obey God and follow God and be intimate with God? And so for me, this was a major wrestling match. And so this week, as I was saying, Lord, reveal my fears, he's saying, you know exactly what you have to deal with, and you know the transparency that you have to have this week. And so for me, it's a big deal of saying, Lord, do I still struggle with a fear of failure? Do I still struggle with a feeling that I'm not doing enough? Do I still feel the fear that I don't want to fail in front of people or do God's will? Which is my greater motivation? So as a pastor and as a shepherd, I'm telling you, I can't be driven by fear. I have to be driven by faith, because when I'm driven by fear, I don't have faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. In the same way for our lives, what are our motivations? What are our biggest fears? What are the things we struggle with the most? Because in the areas in which we struggle the most is the areas that we trust God the least. And I want to tell you this, that God has significant things for this church, and we can't operate out of fear, but out of faith. We can't operate out of just wanting to, whatever our motivation is, wanting to look good or not look bad, but out of faith, saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you regardless what you say. How many of you know we have to operate in faith? The same for you and I, that we have to love pleasing God and being obedient to him more than we're fearful of that thing or that moment or that one item. We have to be love pleasing God. Again, he says this, God, test me and know my anxious thoughts. And so what am I doing here? When I'm praying that prayer, what am I doing here? I begin renewing my mind with the word, with understanding what God's plan is. And in fact, there are two verses. They're not in your notes, but I want you to write down the references here. First one is 1 John 4:18-19. And it says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. Or what about 2 Timothy 1:9, where it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Pray this prayer. See what makes me fearful, God. Lord, what are my greatest fears so that we can get to the root of the issue? And when we get to the root of the issue, God can begin to do monumental things in our hearts and monumental things in our lives. Number three is this. So he says, search my heart. He says, reveal my fears. Number three is this. He says, uncover my sins. David's actual prayer said this. God, see if there is any offensive way in me. David's saying, Lord, is there anything I'm doing that's displeasing you? And I would encourage us across the auditorium today, across this room, to begin to pray that prayer, saying, Lord, is there anything that I do? Is there anything that I'm thinking? Is there anything that I'm dwelling on? Is there any action in my life that is displeasing to you? Because listen, it's easy to find everyone else's sins, but it's hard to see mine. It's easy for me to look out there and say, okay, this guy and this girl and this action and this thought, man, those guys, man, it's easy for me to see your sins, but it's hard for me to see my sins. And so I want us to bring this home today, that with our cultural divide, with our political divide, with our racial divide, it's easy for us to see their sin, whoever they are for you, but it's easy to see other sins and hard to see ours. It's easy for us to see Democrat sins, but not to see our sins. It's easy to see Republican sins, but not ours. It's easy to see blacks' sins or whites' sins or to blame libertarians. You know what? It's hard to blame libertarians. There's not that many of them out there, right? But we often judge others by their actions, and we judge ourselves by our intentions. Did you hear that? What about in marriage? What about, like, it's easy for me to judge Tamara by her actions, but to judge myself and give myself a pass on my intentions. And what we're saying here, Lord, is I'm not pointing the finger anymore. I'm refusing to be a part of the problem. I'm refusing to be a part of the division. I'm refusing to look for flaws. I'm refusing to be engaged in any of that junk, because Grace Hill, pointing the finger is a cop-out. On a very spiritual level, David prayed, Lord, is there any offense in me? When we begin to pray that, when we refuse to point the finger and we refuse to cast blame and we're saying, Lord, search my heart, test me. Is there any offensive way in me? And when we give God permission to point out the sins in our own lives, it can change you. And some of us will be rocked when we truly pray that and open up our hearts. Some of us will be shocked. Some of us will be changed because of what God shows us. And as we're praying, Lord, uncover my sins, there's three questions in this process that we need to ask. So if you're taking notes today, write these down. These questions can help us with self-awareness, with where we're at in our lives. Number one is ask this, what are others trying to tell me? What are others trying to tell me? Has there been things that three or four people have come and told me that I haven't really listened to, and now that maybe I need to listen? There's a saying I heard one time. It says, if someone calls you a donkey, they didn't say donkey, but if someone calls you a donkey, then consider the source. If two people call you a donkey, then maybe think about it. If three people call you a donkey, you might want to buy a saddle. So what are areas, what are other people, what are others trying to tell me that we might want to pay close attention to this, that that might be an issue? Number two, what have I rationalized for some time? What have I rationalized for some time? Hey, you know what? It's not that big a deal. It's no one else's business. It's just the way I cope. You know what? It just affects me. So what have I been trying to rationalize that I know is probably not right, but I've been trying to rationalize it. And the third thing is, where am I most defensive? When someone brings it up, bam, you snap. Where am I most defensive? That these will be things that maybe we need to address and allow God to speak to us as we're saying, God, uncover any offenses in my own heart. So when we ask these questions, it gives God an open door to reveal our hearts to us. It gives us an open door to reveal even the sinful things in our lives, to where we pray, Lord, is there any offensive way? It lets God do something incredible inside of us. And God will point to things that you've been trying to explain away or rationalize away or deny. God will point to things in our heart that as we give those to him, and we submit to those things to him, it will bring healing and wholeness in our hearts. But also, it also leads us, when we recognize these things, it leads us to confession. Do you know that the things you confess, you set free from, the things you keep inside, you're controlled by? And so when God reveals things in our hearts that we need to confess, and we confess to God for forgiveness, we confess to our brothers for healing. We confess to God for forgiveness, we confess to other people for healing. And that's why connection groups are so important. Because we come together as a church family, we learn together, we grow together, we pray together, and we realize that everyone in the group ultimately at some point needs help. We realize that no one is perfect. Everyone has need at some point in their life. And in these areas as we're growing, we say, God, uncover my sins so I can confess and so I can grow closer to you. Search me, reveal my fears, uncover my sins. And David also prayed this, number four, if you're taking notes. Lead me. That was the prayer of David, number four, and this whole search my heart, he was, lead me. So now you're saying, God, reveal to me, and God shows us things about ourselves that we don't like. I mean, this is a rhetorical question, but how many of you have ever, you've discovered something in your heart, a motive, an action, a thought that you knew was ugly, and you didn't want anybody to know? So now you're praying, Lord, search me, reveal my fears, uncover my sins, and suddenly God's laying, here they are, and you're like, oh, okay, where do I go? And now you're saying, God, lead me. Lead me where you want me to go. Verse 24, it says, see if there is any offensive way, uncover my sins, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So God searched you, he revealed those fears, he's uncovered your sins. Now you're beginning at this point to see our need for God. That every time that God begins to reveal these things, it points to us and our need for God. It points to areas of our life where we need grace. It points us to our entire being needing his direction for us. I'm angry. You need God to help you and to bring forgiveness there. I'm addicted. You need this, his help to overcome that addiction. I'm full of pride. You need God to humble you. And sometimes pride is out of insecurity, and you need God to humble you, but also to comfort you. Man, I'm dealing with lust. You need him to renew your mind and to transform your heart to where your thoughts are different because of him. So whatever he shows you, it always points us directly to our need for him. It points us directly to our need for his grace and for his help. And so now we're saying, Lord, lead me into your paths and your plans and your ways. Our hearts deceive us. Our hearts deceive us. And we need God to lead us. So what we've talked about today is an incredibly dangerous prayer of saying, God, search me. God, search me. That as we pray that and we break it down with search my heart, reveal my fears, uncover my sins, lead me, that when that happens, it's an incredible prayer that allows God to conform us into his image. And so today, we're going to do this as a corporate prayer now. The verse that we read to start off service, now we're going to pray that as a corporate prayer. So Grace Hill, would you stand with me today as we pray this together? In fact, would you read this out loud with me in just one moment? But as we read it, I want it to be the prayer of your heart. And just as a point of connection, as a point of something with us and the Lord, would you just put your hand over your heart right now? And as we pray this, begin to pray the Lord that you, Lord, would search me. Let's read this together. Let's pray this together. Are you ready? Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Dear God, right now I pray that you would do this in us. Dear God, I pray that today would be a monumental moment in our hearts where we as a church and where we as individuals in this church, that we begin to seek you and ask you to show our hearts to us, God. Because our hearts are deceitful without you, but with you they are, Lord, we are forgiven and we're cleansed and we're whole, God. But I pray that you would show us our hearts. And that, Lord, we would pray for you to transform them and conform them into your image, God. That we would ask you to reveal our fears and uncover our sins and lead us out of bondage into freedom that's in you, God. And I thank you that today, Lord, in this room, there will be men and women who have the courage to pray this prayer, not as form or liturgy or ritual, but to pray this prayer, Lord, in a very dangerous way with an open heart, saying, Lord, search me, search me, search me. With head still bowed, eyes still closed, I'm going to ask this one thing this morning. If there's anyone in the room today that you say, you know what? I'm willing to make this as a part of my daily or my regular prayer life where I want to pray a dangerous prayer this week, every day, over the next 7 days. I'm going to pray this as a dangerous prayer. So, you know what? With heads bowed, eyes closed, maybe put it that way. That you say, I'm willing to pray this every day for the next 7 days till next Sunday where we're coming and we're saying, Lord, break me. I'm willing to do that. Or I'm willing to get up every morning as a part of my prayer life and I'm willing to pray this prayer before I get on Facebook or before I get on CNN or Fox News or whatever, that I'm willing to say, Lord, search my heart. Reveal my fears. Uncover my sins and lead me. If this is you today, that you say, I'm willing to pray this prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. It's just a point of response for you to the Lord. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? I'm willing to pray that prayer. Awesome, awesome. Keep them up for just a moment. Anyone else, you say, you know what? I'm willing to pray that prayer this week and regularly in my prayer life. Awesome, so great. Oh, thank you, God. Father, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen every man and woman in this room. That as they pray this prayer, Lord, in humility and in openness, and Lord, in this incredible dangerous way of saying, Lord, whatever you want, God, search it. Here it is. It's open to you. You know it, but Lord, I want you to show it to me, God. I pray that, Lord, it'd be a monumental prayer in their life. I pray that this week, Lord, would be a monumental week in which there is a growing in you, Lord, where there is a searching of their hearts and they're realizing, oh, this area and that area and over here, I need to bring into alignment with you to confess that for repentance and to let you lead me to where you want me to be in that area.